Hey, that video would have been really funny if it wasn't so personally convicting, right? So, hey, my name's David Allgaier. I'm one of the pastors here. I work with all the regionals. I do different teaching in different places and all that kind of stuff here at the church. And hey, before we jump in to the sermon, let me just say thank you to everybody who's responded to our call to pray and fast with us and just pray that God would bring the senior high person here to Henderson. We know that God has a plan. We believe that, you know, many things in life don't happen apart from prayer, and that's how God has designed life. So I want to just tell you thank you and keep doing that. Thank you for doing that with us. We are talking in the series, okay, 5 ways to wreck your life. And this week, the topic is drifting from God. And the scripture warns us about this in many different ways. In fact, it specifically says in scripture that we must be, okay, listen to how it says it, most careful to pay attention, therefore, so that we do not drift away. The scripture urges us to be careful and conscious of not drifting because it's so dangerous. Now, lay aside the spiritual for a second, spiritual drifting, and think for a moment about physically drifting, because that will help us understand the spiritual a little more. All right, so I came to Savannah about 20 years ago, and I'm going to tell you about my welcome to Savannah moment, all right? As you all know, if you've been here for even a short amount of time, you know that there's a current in every body of water in this area, right? Maybe with the exception of some ponds, but the rivers and the ocean, there's a strong undercurrent. So I was asked when I first came here 20 years ago to go jet skiing. Yeah, great. Okay, so I show up. I get my life vest on this dock by a river really close to here. You know, this river is connected to the ocean. And this friend of mine who was there asked if he could ride with me on the jet ski, which I said, sure. Now, here's the details you need to know about my friend. And these are important. Okay, these details will come back around later. You'll understand. Okay, first of all, he was a big-time college athlete. He's bigger than me, much more built than me. I know that's hard to imagine, but he was. And anyway, and here's the big thing. He grew up on an island in the Caribbean. Hold on to that. Okay, so we get onto the jet ski and we take off, and the first turn we make, you're supposed to lean into the turn. He didn't lean into the turn. He instead grabs me. We go flying off into the water. So I'm, I come up, out of the water. I'm going to try to grab the jet ski, get back on. No big deal. You fall off, you get back on. But here's what happened. He turned towards me and he wrapped his arms around me. Okay, so now, like this, wrapped his arms around me, and I'm looking at his face. I've never seen this before in my life, heard about this, never seen it before. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but sheer panic in somebody, irrational panic, where the person is not themselves. And I'm trying to tell him, hey, let me go. let me get the jet ski, we'll get right back on. And he couldn't talk. He was shaking, and he stammered out these words. He said, Dave, I cannot swim. Now, first thought, as would happen to you, you're like, dude, you grew up on an island, right? Everybody, you all know what an island is, right? It's a body, a piece of land, and 360 degrees around it, it has water. Okay, we're gonna work that out later. This wasn't the time to do it, right? So I'm trying to rationalize. I'm trying to tell him. I mean, I'm trying to keep my cool. I'm saying, like, let me go. Let me go. I'll give you my life vest, and then you can hold on to that. I'll swim, get the jet ski. I'll come back. He's like, no, Dave. No. He can't. He's irrational. And here's the problem. He's holding on to me in such a way, right here, his arms, and he's squeezing me. My arms are like this. I can't move my arms. He's tightened up on me. All I can do is flutter my feet, and the water's right here. I mean, I'm barely keeping my head above the water, and I'm getting tired really fast. And I tell him, and I said, I just need to go get the jet ski. I turn, and the jet ski is like 50 yards away. And this is only in a matter of, just seconds. The dock is out of sight. We've drifted to kind of a wider part of the river. We're nowhere near the shore. This is out of control. We're drifting. The current is taking us and taking everything in every direction. This is not good. And I'm getting really tired. And I'm trying to rationalize with them. And I don't know if you've ever seen like or some instructional video or whatever, but they tell you, and this goes through my head, okay, that you're counterintuitive. You're supposed to go down, okay? Like if this ever happens and people panic, you're supposed to go down because your temptation is to go up and you can't. And here's the problem though. I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna need to try this, but I have a life vest on and he's holding me so tight. If I go down, I don't know if I can make it down except for, you know, a few inches, and then I'm totally submerged. But here's the problem. I'm getting really exhausted, and now, you know, done a good job at keeping my cool. Now I'm starting to get afraid because I don't know what I'm gonna do. And I can't keep pedaling. I mean, it's bad. I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna try it. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm telling you, this is a weird moment. It's like, okay, here I go. And I'm not exaggerating, this is all true. Right as I'm about to do it, a boat comes around the corner. Now listen. This is not a story to tell you that God miraculously sent a boat and there was an angel in the boat, but in my heart, God sent a boat and there was an angel in the boat, right? And they pulled us out of the water and the guy goes, "Hey, I'm Gabriel." And I'm like, "What? No, just kidding. That part." That's the only part that's not true, okay? Only part. So I don't know who the people were. I wish I would have, I don't know. But here we are today. Welcome to Savannah, right? Okay. Now, I tell you that story because I want you to feel something that's really important to you, okay, and really important to me, everyone in the room. Everyone in this room is in the current. You are in a current. Everyone who's alive today is in a current. Everyone who's ever lived is in a current, and that current is really strong. And as you hear that story, not everyone identifies right now, which is good with me and my friend, but some of you do. You identify with us because you hear that and you're like, and I feel that way. My life is drifted and I'm out of control. And in fact, when you hear that, you think, yeah, it's like that. I feel like I've drifted far from God. I feel like the current has taken me. I'm at a place where maybe you didn't expect to be in some different way in your life. You're far from God, and you long for even what maybe you used to have. You long for the warmth of God you used to feel, the connection you used to feel. And I just want to tell you something right now. I've got really good news for you. No one has ever drifted too far outside the grace of God. And in fact, the Word of God says that. It says where sin increased, grace increased even more. And in fact, it's a really kind of a weird text because that grace increase is actually one word in the original language. And it's the word super increased or super abounded. Other translations say where sin abounded, grace super abounded. You have not drifted outside of the reach of God. And I want to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. I want to put it in your heart right now that you'll be able to respond to what God tells you today. And although you feel like you've gone a long way or you feel like your heart has gone cold in some way and you long for that warmth of God, that can turn around with one decision today. It can start to turn around, and one decision can start putting you on a different path. And so I'm going to pray for that. Now, listen. There's another group of people, and you've since you're out of control too. But here's the problem: you're in a little more danger than the people who are aware of it because you're not aware of it. And this is the nature of what we're talking about today. This is the problem with the current, and the problem with drifting. Is that one of the big characteristics of it is that we're not aware of it. And there's people in the room, you've drifted, you know, far from God, but what's also drifted and what's also diminished is your spiritual sensitivity. And so you don't necessarily have a longing as you hear this to come back to God. And ironically, even though you're the people who really need to hear this the most, even though we all need to hear it, you're the least likely to be listening to me right now. So here's what I'm doing. I'm preaching to you, and this whole message I'm preaching to you, but I'm telling you, in my heart, I'm praying too. Because I know the Spirit can connect with you, and I know the Spirit can speak to your heart and bring that to life in you, and He will. Now, listen, Everybody in the room, you intuitively already understand this. You're very aware of this, that there is a current and that you're in the current and the people you love are in the current. And that current is trying to pull us away from God. It tries to pull us away from good things. It tries to pull us away from our marriages. It tries to pull us away from the Word of God and relying on God's Word and putting our trust in Him in all sorts of ways. And it is strong. But here's the good news. God has not left us helpless against that current. He has given us very specific instructions in His Word in various ways, in many places He speaks of this. And I'm going to give you one specific text that's really important to me and historically has been really important that talks directly about this. If we can embrace this and we can just open ourselves up and hear God's Word today, God can do a work in our life. I mean, starting right away with decisions today, He can start pulling us and moving us the other direction. And the flood of the warmth of God and the connection and the good things in our life can come back in right away. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to Romans chapter 12, okay? Turn to Romans chapter 12. I want to talk about a specific verse, but I want to tell you what I did with this too. Okay, now, Romans 12, 1 through 2 is a famous verse, little passage in all of history, okay? It's one of those scriptures that people have memorized throughout history. Today, still the same thing. It's a really high place in the church for a lot of reasons, but because there's so much in it and it's so critical. And in fact, one theologian writes about this passage and says that he believes that in this tiny space, there's more theological truth and sort of more theological depth in a way than any other place in the scripture in such a small space. Now, here's the deal. But it's also, even though it's very deep, and we're going to go deep quick, it's also very graspable, meaning like we can just, as we walk through this, there's a lot of this we're going to get. It makes sense right away. But here's what I did. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I mean, I studied it, I prayed over it, and man, there's such great stuff in here in Romans chapter 1, but I had way too much stuff. I mean, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I cut everything from Romans 1. I did. I just like pages that they're gone. So we're not even going to look at Romans 1. And then I had Romans 2, and then I'm like, this is too much. And I cut the second half of Romans 2. So this is my gift to you. We're just doing the first half of Romans 12 too, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read it together right now. So I want everyone to participate in this. Everyone at the regionals, I want you to do this with me. So I'm going to put that text up on the screen. I want everyone to read it. All right, here we go. Everyone say this with me. Ready? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say this part. Romans 12, 2. Okay, now we're going to do it again, okay? Really think about this as you say it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. All right, great job. Now do this one. Here we go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the of your... Okay, let's do that one again. Romans 12, 2. Say it again. Do not to the of this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 2. All right, great job. Now do this one right here. Okay. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the... Romans 12, 2. Okay, great job. So that's in our hearts right now, okay? Now, listen. It starts out, the text starts out. We're going to go deep into this quick. It doesn't start out by telling us what to do. It tells us first what not to do. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Why does it start like that? Because conformity to the world is the most effective thing in history to destroy a person's faith, holiness, and mission. I really believe that. What I mean by destroy your faith, holiness, and your faith, your connection with God, your holiness, the way God created you to be, created you to live your life, how to use your mind and your body, your holiness, and your mission, and what He has called you to do. Conformity is. And it's still the most dangerous enemy you or I have to have an effective faith. Now, I'm going to throw out a couple Greek words today. The New Testament is written in, you know, Greek at the time, and it helps sometimes to just dwell on what those words mean. So I'm not trying to be a geek. I'm trying to just let us dwell on some of these words, okay? So what does the word conformity mean? What does it mean to conform? In the Greek, the word is souschematizo, and it's always translated conform yourself or fashion yourself. It's when a person just flows with and blends in with the culture they live in. So it's not necessarily a deliberate thing. It's not necessarily, and it doesn't begin this way, and even in the middle, it's not a willful disobedience, a willful turning away. It's not like that. That's not the nature of it. It's a blending in, a drifting into. So you kind of drift away then to what God called you to be. And that's the greatest enemy for every believer. And when you hear that, and if you've been around the church for a while, and by the way, whether you're new to the church or new to faith, man, we're so glad you're here. But if you've been around for a while, you're like, wait a second, aren't there three enemies, or aren't there other enemies to faith? I mean, haven't I heard? Yeah, there's other enemies to the faith. The Bible identifies three. Every believer, everyone in the room, your enemy is one, the sinful nature. That's your predisposition to rebel. You're born with a sinful nature, the scripture says. We're born in the image of God. So there's things of God in us, but we're also born with a predisposition to rebel. And if you have kids, you're acutely aware of this, okay? Now, number two, Satan, the forces of Satan. Scripture says that's your adversary. And then number three, the current of this world. That's the third one. But the greatest enemy is the current of the world. Why is that? Because Satan's greatest scheme, his greatest weapon, is conformity. To use things to help, you know, believers conform, to drift. And the sinful nature, the greatest weakness of the sinful nature, is conformity to the pattern of this world, to drift. So this is our greatest enemy. Now, the scripture says, teaches that there's two characteristics of conformity that make it so lethal. Number one, it happens invisibly. Conformity destroys so many believers because it usually happens so slowly that you don't know it's happening, or it just happens and you don't detect it. This is why violence and force has never destroyed the church. Think about that. Right now, today, there's more persecution in this century and in the world today than there's ever been in history. Hard to believe, but it's true. Even going back to the first century. But violence and force have never destroyed the church. The church has only gotten stronger. It's a visible enemy. Conformity is invisible. It's happening and you don't realize it. And everybody gets this, right? Think of drifting again, okay? My kids love the ocean. I love the ocean. I love living near the ocean. I've always lived near the ocean. I'm from Seattle, but that water's cold. This water's really warm. I like this water a lot better. I know some of you are like, Tybee, it's so cloudy. I don't care, okay? It's warm. I love the ocean here. Okay, now, here's the problem though, okay? When your kids are little, you think you're going to go to the beach and it's going to be totally relaxing, and it's usually not the case, okay? Here's why. The waves come right at you. You see the waves. But underneath, there's a current. And the way, I don't know the science behind it, but the way Savannah is situated, and the current is like sideways in Tybee. So you're sitting there, okay, and remember when my kids were a little bit younger. You're sitting there on the beach. And they're all three of my girls. I have three daughters. One of them's a special needs daughter, and she has like this little inner tube she uses. The two are playing. My special needs daughter's playing with her inner tube. And like 5 minutes later, I look up, and they're not out in front of me. They're 50 yards to the left, okay? And you know, it's like, okay, 50 yards, no big deal. Special needs daughter's 100 yards away because she's got this inner tube, makes her float farther. So 10 minutes later, you look up. Literally, I mean, they're like 100, 150 yards way down there. And you're like, I can pretty much see them, you know, no big deal. You know, I mean, you're like, I'm trying to relax. And 5 minutes, this is true, 5 minutes later, you look up and they're just gone. And you know, you don't jump up, you say to your wife, whose turn is it? You know, I mean, are you? And so okay, I'm going to go get them, find the kids. You go down. Get my two daughters, and they're not being willfully disobedient, but I tell them, you're in a current. You can't do that. You have to pay attention to the current. And then my special needs daughter is way down there, and I go get her, and I pull her out and get her inner tube, and psh, pop the inner tube, true story. because, you know, she's so far away. Tell her that a shark bit it, that kind of thing. But I mean, the current happens invisibly. You know, they don't realize that they've drifted so far away. It's not willful disobedience. Spiritually, it's like that. We get to places, spiritually, we get to places with our holiness, with our mission, with our faith. We don't even realize how we got there because it's happened without our awareness. Every believer, you know, understands this force and has some kind of experience with it. I could tell you a lot of personal stories about this. I'll tell you one that's not too, you know, too embarrassing to tell, where I just drifted and didn't realize it. Everyone here, you know, you have stories too. I mean, when I was 15 years old, I remember I was at a youth group in Seattle, and I'd really drifted in that time with the things I said. I was telling jokes that were, you know, bad, off color, and my words, and just not using words in a godly way. And I was playing a softball game at youth group, and I remember very specifically, and I remember the guy who did this, who brought this to my attention. This youth leader, he comes out, name is Mark, and he says, "Hey, Dave, you can never say that again." And I said, and I remember I'm playing a softball game. There's a lot of people. And I'm like, "What are you talking?" There's even people watching. Like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You said, in fact, you said it really loud." And I'm not going to say what the word was. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "I didn't say that." And it's kind of a mini argument there. And he walked away. And as soon as he was walking away, I realized, oh, I did. And I didn't even realize that. I was so unconscious of what I was saying that I just drifted into that, and I was so convicted. I was like, wow, how did I get here? And I'm not telling that story to make a point on, you know, God cares, you know, what you say, which he does. What I'm saying is we can all drift into some places where we don't realize how we even got there because we haven't paid attention. And suddenly, you know, people in the room here, you're looking at explicit images every day, and just kind of normal. I mean, you didn't start out that way, but there's a pattern of drifting, and suddenly that's a part of your life. And other people in the room, you know, there's some kind of habit that just kind of become part of your life, normal in your life, and you didn't start out kind of intentionally going there, but you kind of ended up there, and it's just kind of normal, and you've just kind of become a part of you. And for others, and this one's interesting, it's not necessarily a holiness issue, you know, using your mind and your words and your body the way God created. It's a mission issue. You've just kind of drifted into kind of what I call spiritual harmlessness. Satan's not really worried about you. He's got you right where he wants. You know, there's not personal prayer in your life. There's not a personal desire to seek the Lord. You're not really on mission. You're kind of just observing Christianity. You're not really participating, engaging God. And Satan's like, I kind of like right where you are. I'm not necessarily going to do something bad because that's really good. Because he's got you totally off mission. And other people, and this is a weird one, I'm telling you, this has increased. This has escalated and increased. The people's beliefs have changed. In the last 5 to 10 years, I mean, I've visibly seen this. Believers have changed some of their views that, you know, because of the current of the culture. And God hasn't changed and his word hasn't changed, but the current is strong. And it happens invisibly. I'm telling you, it happens and it's lethal. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so lethal, because it's invisible. And the second reason why it's so lethal is because everyone is in the current. Everyone. It's not, this isn't an issue where we're preaching and, you know, there's this group over here and they are particularly need to pay attention. This is one of those times where everybody here is in this. The reason this is the most dangerous threat to the faith, being close to God, the holiness, and the mission of my children, okay, is because this is the most lethal threat to every child. I mean, it's so sobering to think about. The reason drifting from God is the most lethal threat to me personally. Drifting from mission, vision, or, you know, holiness is because this is a threat that is the most lethal threat for every person. Everyone is in the current. So here's an overarching principle, and I'm going to explain this a little bit, and it's going to sound a little weird, but this is kind of the main principle here. If you're not paddling, then you're drifting, okay? That's kind of how it works. Because when the scripture talks about this, it says, pay attention, be aware, be conscious of this. And if we're not doing what God calls us to do specifically about this, and he gives very specific instruction, then we're drifting. Nobody's immune to that. Nobody just sits in the river, okay, of the current of the world and just is kind of there. It's not how it works. You're either being transformed by God or the current's taking you somewhere else. And so this is a call to attention for all of us. Now, how do we overcome that powerful force, that force of such potential destruction? Well, the scripture gives clear instructions how. And there's a lot of hope in this, and it's so good, and there's so much promise and so much opportunity. And so we need to open our hearts in that way. It's like, realize God has something good for us. Okay, here's what he says. He says, here's how. You don't be conformed, okay? Don't conform yourself to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean to be transformed? So let's just break this down a little bit. Again, the word in the original, transformed, is the word, and I wrote it down in your notes, metamorphouste. You want to try that one? Everybody say, ready? Metamorphouste. All right, so when you say it, you hear, you know, we get the English word metamorphosis from that, okay? So it means to have a complete change in form. This is really important because a lot of people misunderstand what God's intention and plan is for them, and this can derail, you know, what you do with your spiritual life if you don't get this one little point. Because some people can come and with the assumption that what God's intention for you is to make you a little bit of a better person, to make you better, or to make you a little gooder. In fact, a lot of people see the church and spirit and Christianity that way. Oh, God wants to make you a little bit. No, that's not his plan. He never says that, okay? What he says is he wants to transform you. That's totally different, okay? He's not trying to just make you a little better. He wants to transform you. And this is important because it doesn't just affect your outer behavior. It affects your inner self. Everybody here has an inner self. Scripture calls it the inner person. And the Spirit of God wants to get in there and change things. And this is really a hopeful thing. This is really a good thing. Because this is where God changes even our desires. He changes our desires. So you might be thinking, man, I've struggled so long. You know, I do want to change this habit or this thing, but I always get derailed. Yeah, but because part of it might not be approaching it the right way. You're going on willpower alone, and God says, that's not my plan. I want to transform you through this process of renewal of your mind. I want to change your desires so that the very things that you didn't like to do, and you kind of tried not to do them or tried to do them, but you kind of didn't like. I want to even change that so you even start wanting to do the things I call you to do. God wants to change. It's like taking a bath, okay? Let me give you an example. So taking a bath, all right? If you have little kids or you've had kids, and if you don't, you can remember when you're a kid, okay? Everybody can get this one. All right, when they're babies, all right, you stick them in the bathtub, in these little things so they don't drown and whatever, they don't have a choice, right? But then they get to this phase, I don't know what age it is, it's like 5 to 8 or something like that, when they're the stinkiest they're ever going to be, okay? 5 to 8 years old, kids are really stinky because they don't want to take a bath anymore because bath cuts into playtime, right? I don't want to take a bath. I don't want to play. And you have to force them to take a bath. And taking a bath is distasteful to them, even though that's a really good thing. Okay, and you know it's a good thing, but then they get to a different phase. What happens? Right around 8, 9, 10 years old, they start to love the bath and the shower, and it becomes a wonder, right? They get in there, and oh, hot water, Amazing. Wow. And now, like we have to do in our family, they have to go and take a shower with a timer because they stay in there too long and the bill's getting really high and we have to threaten them like, we're going to have to move out and we're not going to have any money, you know. So they have to do a timer, right? Why? Because there becomes a point where the very things that used to be distasteful, once they start doing them, they start to realize what they're getting from it and they start to want more of it. And that's what happens in spiritual transformation. When you start going down the path that God has called you to specifically, and he's going to talk about in a second, renewal by the Holy Spirit, you start doing the things God called you to do, you start to want more of what God gives you in that. And then transformation starts to happen. When transformation happens, he changes your inner desires, not just your outer behavior, he changes the inside. And he also starts to change those things inside that you thought could never change. Fears that you have deep down inside, or disappointments, or hurts, or, you know, could even be like anxieties or some kind of depression or brokenness. In spiritual transformation, God gets at that stuff. And it is so good. And that's the opportunity. So he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a special word in Scripture. When it says renewal, this particular word in the text, okay? This particular word in the text is always connected to what the Holy Spirit does to a person. Every single time. There's other words for this, but not this one in our text. This one's different. It's always connected to the Holy Spirit meeting a person and doing something in a person. I'm going to give you another scripture where it says it, okay? In Titus. Titus 3:5. God saved us, not because of works done in righteousness, so not because of anything we do, but he saved us according to his mercy. Why? What Jesus did. That's the mercy of God. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus did and whether or not we choose to put our trust in what Jesus did. By the washing of regeneration and, this is the exact same word in our text, renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain what this means in a very practical way without getting into a bunch of other texts and just tell you what it means, okay? And I'll explain it. Each time you pause in the different forms, whether it's scripture reading, going to God alone, or prayer, different things we do together here, solitude time, anytime you go to sort of to meet the Holy Spirit in different forms, and you give him your full attention, okay, that's the key, the Holy Spirit does a little renewing. So I'm just breaking this down to a really practical way to tell you how the mechanics of this work. That devotion to that process of renewal leads to transformation. So you do that daily. You're connected with God daily in different ways. Different ways. That process leads to transformation, where God doesn't just change the outer stuff, he changes the inside. So how do you do that? How do you enter into the renewal of your mind that leads to transformation? How do you devote yourself to renewal by the Holy Spirit? I want to give you three super practical things. This is right at the end here. Three super practical things to think about. But I'm telling you as I say this, these are things that God sort of has created into the fabric of the universe. Like, these aren't things that he's inviting some people to. This is what he believes is normal for everyone who's called on the name of the Lord, okay? You are saved when you put your faith in Jesus, but you're transformed over time by the process of putting yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit in different forms through renewal. And that leads to transformation. And that's how you are changed, the inner and the outer person. So first, fiercely devote yourself to corporate renewal with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a weird word, but it means body, okay? It's from the Greek and the Latin word that means body. Fiercely devote yourself to the times the body gets together. People sometimes say it's kind of fashionable to say now, you know, it's just me and Jesus and not me and the church. And I'm all about me and Jesus, but not about the church. And you know, let me tell you something. That's an interesting thing to say, except for the fact that it contradicts almost the entirety of the scripture, okay? The scripture says, do not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And the church is always going to be imperfect. So in some form, I get where that's coming from, sort of. But the church is always going to be imperfect. But Jesus loves the church. And the church is for a specific purpose. And without it, without the body gathering together, there are things a person cannot get, okay, any other way. Now there's things that we get when we come together as a body. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. One, when we worship, we are, and think about all in the context of giving the Holy Spirit your attention. When we worship, you're singing to God, but you're also meeting the Holy Spirit in a way. You're meeting him. Now, you don't see that. You don't see, like, the glowy Holy Spirit. And if you do, keep that between you and God, okay? But you're meeting the Holy Spirit, and there's renewal happening there. And that accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. And when you put yourself in front of the Word, okay, like we're doing, we're submitting to the Word, okay? This whole process, we're hearing from God right now. He's speaking to us through his Word. That's why we just walk through the text. You are giving the Holy Spirit your attention. He's talking to you. And there's renewal happening. In fact, the Scripture talks about it in that way. It says in Ephesians, you're washed by the cleansing of the Word. Think about it like that. You're out in the world, and man, you're getting the world, the current of the world. Stuff is falling upon you, the world. Everything is, right? The stuff you see, the stuff you're around, it's all there. The current is taking you. And then every time, you got the world all over you in your mind, and it's what's going on, and I don't know which thoughts are which. And then you sit in front of the Word, and it washes you. And you do it again, and it washes you, and you're washed, and you're washed, and he brings you back around, so you clearly understand the will of God. That's the whole second part of this text, but we're not getting into it. Another example is communion. You give yourself the tension. You give the Holy Spirit your attention, and all these little pieces of the body gathering together, communion. And we take the Lord's Supper together. To me, that's like the first day of creation. It's like starting over again every time. It's like I get to begin again with, that's how I see the Lord's Supper. It's like the center of the universe spiritually. And you get to say, okay, I'm going to start over. Every week, I'm going to start over with the Lord. Give Jesus my full attention at communion. Take those elements. And every time you do that, you are meeting the Holy Spirit, and there's renewal and renewal. And see how it's all accumulating? And it accumulates into transformation. And the second thing you do is you fiercely devote yourself to personal renewal by the Holy Spirit. And this is supposed to be normal. And listen, I'm not attacking you. I don't want you to feel guilty. I just want you to understand you're missing out. I want you to understand that not me, but the Word is telling you that if you're not fiercely devoted to personally being with the Lord on a daily basis in some form, you can't be shaped into what God has wanted to shape you into, because this is his process of transformation, renewal by the Holy Spirit. And personally devoting yourself to things like being in the Word in some form, being in prayer in some form. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you in a second. I'm going to give you one thing. But bottom line is, you learn to do it by doing it. We'll help you get started, but you learn to do it by doing it. But this is the call of normalcy for every believer. This is how we paddle and don't drift. And it's not exhausting. It's freeing. It's everything but exhausting. It's fulfilling. It changes the inner person. Man. And you're renewed. And renewal leads to transformation. And God will give you gifts, and he will shape you and form you, and some of the stuff you've never been able to get past, he helps you get past, and he heals. And this is for you, and he wants you to hear that. This is his gift to the believer, not the burden. He's not calling you to be a good Christian citizen, like show up for church and read your Bible. It's not about that. It's about the supernatural of work, a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Now listen, let me give you one thing. It's going to sound like oversimplified. It's almost going to sound like too simple that, you know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay, here's what it is. Last thing. Here's what I want you to do. Consider doing this, okay? Team up with someone and do 10 minutes of personal renewal by the Holy Spirit in different forms, prayer, scripture, for 10 straight days. Those are all important. All of those are important. One, the consistency of 10 straight days is important. The 10 minutes is important because I know everybody's busy, but everybody in the room can give God 10 minutes at some point in time. You can find a space to do that. And the most important thing is actually this. I don't mean do this with someone. In fact, don't. Don't actually get in a room and do this with someone. Do it alone, like Jesus says. Go in your room, close your door, you know, be alone with the Spirit. Have an appointment with the Holy Spirit through reading Scripture and through being in prayer. But I say team up Because statistically speaking, okay, scientific, empirical, sociological fact, if you do this to someone, your likelihood of doing it is really high, of following through. And if you do it alone, your likelihood is really low. And here's all I want you to consider doing, okay? I want you to consider right now as I'm talking, think in your mind of someone you can invite into your life to do that simple thing. 10 minutes alone with the Holy Spirit for 10 straight days. So think in your mind, everybody's got a person, okay? Now here's by the way, there's a byproduct of this that's really cool. This isn't just for you, but because you're responding to this, God might be using you to do a work in someone else's life. That's ministry. So the very thing he's calling you to do right now might specifically be for someone else, the invitation you're giving. And that's an answer to somebody's prayer that God is trying to use you to call them into this, okay? Now, here's the deal. I know that sounds like, well, 10 minutes, is that enough for renewal? Not really, but you got to listen to this. Here's the deal, though. It is the right thing to do for the beginning here. It's doable. Anybody here can do this. But here's the secret. Okay, I'm going to tell you the secret, like behind the scenes motivation behind telling you to do that. If you do this 10 minutes a day where you get alone for 10 straight days in scripture and prayer, God will do something in you and you will want more of it. You will want more of it. The stuff he gives you, the formation, the renewal he gives you, you'll just want more of it. And so the Holy Spirit's going to meet you and he's going to take you farther. And that 10 minutes is going to change into something else. 30 minutes or whatever, or he's going to teach you a different way to pray. I don't know. But that's the process of renewal, meeting the Holy Spirit, and it leads to transformation. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to close in prayer. But what I want to do, because on my heart, even though this text is for everybody in the room, there's two specific groups on my heart, okay? I want to go back to the beginning. If at the beginning and you just felt like, man, I've just drifted far from God, and I hear that story, I know exactly what you're talking about when you're talking about drifting in the river and things are out of control. I want you to hear again that no one has drifted too far out of the grace of God. You haven't drifted out of his reach. And one simple sort of humble decision today, just to say, okay, God, I'm going to decide right now to confess that and come back, will reverse the course of your life and take you in an entirely different direction. And the other group I want to pray for, and I want to actually pray with you about this, are the people who, you know, like, you know, I'm not like out of control and I haven't, but here's what's happened though. You've drifted in, again, what I call spiritual harmlessness, where Satan's not really attacking you. And this is really dangerous, but because you're not really a threat. You're in the bleachers in a spiritual sense and not really in the game. You're not engaging in these things. You're not engaging in prayer. You have a prayerless life. You have a serving-less life. You don't serve. You're not in your heart wanting God to, like, more than anything, use your life for his glory. I want to pray for you too. And so we're going to pray together. This is for all of us. But just listen to me as I kind of guide us in this prayer. Here we go. Everybody, just close your eyes and let's pray together. Father, thank you for washing us with the word. You have washed us with the word today. And we've heard you. We've heard you speak to us. We don't want to be conformed. We don't want the people we love to drift in the current of the world. We know you love the people in the world. That's not it. It's the things in the world that are opposed to you and against goodness in people's lives. We don't want to drift in that and be a part of it. We instead want to be renewed by you, following you, want you to use our lives. So move us that direction. We're meeting you right now, Holy Spirit, in this prayer. And we pray right now specifically for people who just have a sense of conviction and repentance and wanting to come back. Thank you for bringing them back. Here's what I want you to do if that's you, as your eyes are so closed. And I want everyone to consider saying this prayer, but specifically those people. Just whisper this or say it in your heart, okay? Just say it like this. Say, thank you, Father, for speaking to me. Just go ahead and say that. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me. Now say, I'll say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting me right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting me. And now what I want you to say is, say, thank you, God, for drawing me close to you, and thank you for what you're going to do in my life. And now I want to pray for that other group, kind of on the sidelines, but you haven't jumped in, but you have a conviction to do it. You want God to use your life for his glory. Say it again. Say, thank you, God, for speaking to me. I'll say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting me here. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives through renewal, through this process of transformation. We love you. In the name of Christ, amen.